speak up in her. I am so pleased to be here and to see so many familiar faces. You just warm my heart with your smiles and with your presence. And Gee, it's so funny. She said, the lady behind us, she goes by Gee. And I said, that's me too. I go by Gee. So we are all on one accord this morning. First, giving honor to God, who is the source of all my strength, of all that I am, all that I ever was, or all that I could ever hope to be, I just want to say God morning to all of you. And to let you know what indeed an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure it is for me to have the opportunity to stand before you. I listen to these intros, and sometimes, it's so funny, King had a quote that said, as I listen to these eloquent and interesting introductions and then think about myself, I wonder who they're talking about. And yes, I've done all of those things, but those things aren't half as important as what I do right now and what I get to do next and next and next. And I'm grateful that I get all of those next to participate in and that I get to travel, I get to take this temple with me everywhere I go. And then I realize it's really the temple that's taking me, because I am not my body. I have a body. I am not my thoughts. I have thoughts. And this body is, the idea that the body is made so perfectly that it will do everything that it needs to do without me really having to participate at all. Now, my doctor will encourage me to eat better and to exercise and to take medicine if he prescribes, but he or I don't have control over making my heart beat or making my lungs take in oxygen or making my bloodstream flow through my body to give me energy and vitality to do all the things that I want and need to do. That's not me. I'm just along for the ride and grateful that those things are taken care of for me. And when I forget, then I am reminded that this whole world, I'm going to be selfish for a moment, is here for me. Somewhere I read that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you so. It's been made clear to me, clearer than ever, and in so many ways, that it's my job to show up and touch and agree. Because the other writing says that where there are two or three gathered together in my name, that I will be a God in the midst. So that tells me that wherever I go and whatever I do, that this God presence is always present, never an absence, always present. And I'm grateful that as an actor, it didn't require thousands of people to create this presence. It said two or three. And the truth is, it's one or more. Because I could sit by myself and think of other people. I could sit, we have three dogs at the house now. I could sit with the three dogs and not another human being present in the room and feel and have this God presence be with me all the time. And when we talk about in my name, you know, they say that this God presence has many names. But I would suggest that it's in the name of love, in the name of peace, in the name of joy, in the name of creativity, in the name of abundance and prosperity, in the name of health, wholeness, and well-being, that we get to be here today. And you guys have already called it. You guys, y'all got fired up already. He was up there on the base. I was like, what? You better get your groove on. What that means is that there is God presence in the music. That as an actor, when people go to the theater and they turn the lights off and they have what we call the suspension of disbelief, for a moment, we are all touching and agreeing on the same thing. We are agreeing. I love theater for that reason. We are agreeing that what we're seeing may or may not be reality, but we are accepting it for this moment to see if there is something there for us. And everybody in the room begins to feel the same emotion when the character is hurt or dies or goes through a particular, and that vibration, that emotion, that energetic is multiplied every time somebody laughs or cries or sighs, or in the case of my people, sometimes shout out, "No, don't go over there!" When people go to the museum and they take in a particular exhibit or a painting or a sculpture or a presentation, for just a split second, two or three people are looking at the same thing at the same time, and they are echoing the vibration of a creative spirit that is not there with them at that point, but inspired somebody to make something and create something that's going to bring these people together. Because we do more together than we do apart, and we have more in common than we do that is different. Even when we get together over the holidays with the family, and sometimes they work on our nerves, and they say things or do things that we don't like, believe, or agree with, at some moment, there is a synergy that happens, and we're grateful to be there in spite of them and in spite of ourselves. There are two or three touching and agreeing on the same thing in the name of family, in the name of love, in the name of peace, in the name of joy, in the name of creativity, in the name of art, in the name of theater. I'm glad he has a bunch of names because one would never do. Even when we go to a sporting event or watch a sporting event on television and you're rooting for a particular team or rooting against a particular team, if you watch those people in the stadium, when all of the excitement happens and they score a touchdown or a bucket or win the game, all of those people, for just a moment, whatever was going on in their lives is less significant than the joy and exhilaration that they're feeling and experiencing at that time. I also am a master drummer, so I teach West African djembes, and I teach children and adults and autistic kids and special needs kids to play West African djembes. And I'm thinking about it, we have some in the back, and if you want to take one home with you today, you're welcome to, remembering that the proceeds benefit the village in Senegal where all of these drums are handmade. But when I have these drum circles or the kids are learning a particular rhythm, we are just going for 3 seconds where everybody is on one accord. And I'm willing to, and have been known to, have drum circles in my yard for several hours. And all we want is 3 seconds. Because in that 3 seconds, somebody's life is changed. And what's great is we don't even have to know. And it's really none of our business, and we don't have to take responsibility for it. Our job is to be open and available to someone else who is thinking and feeling positively at the same time that we are. And that's the beginning of changing the world. Which brings me to this topic of what is science of mind? I thought when I said, is there a particular topic? Is there something that we're dealing with? And I'm going to try to be mindful. I know I have a tendency to collapse time and go longer than I'm supposed to, but I'm going to try to be mindful. But when she told me that that was the topic, initially I was really excited. And then I began to say, how many different people have their own interpretation of what this science of mind is? Because the truth for me is that before I ever discovered it, and before I ever went to Agape or any place that was a center for spiritual living versus a missionary Baptist church or a fire and brimstone that I grew up in, I had thoughts and ideas that I knew were true, that I knew were truer than what I was being given in some of these formal settings, but I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the knowledge. All I had was insight. All I had were my own instincts. So I decided to go back and look and go to the founders and ask them, what is science of mind? And I want to share with you what they defined and described science of mind as. Number one, it is the study of science of mind. It is the study of the first cause, spirit, mind, that is the invisible essence, the ultimate stuff and intelligence from which everything comes, the power back of creation, the thing itself. I'm just going to say that part again, the thing itself. Science of mind. Science represents study. Mind represents the mind of God that we're all trying to tap into so that we know we're doing the right thing. The other definition was, the science of mind is not a special revelation of any individual. It is, rather, the culmination of all revelations. We take the good wherever we find it, making it our own insofar as we understand it. The realization that God is universal and that as much good as any individual is able to incorporate in his life, they are to use in their life. This is what constitutes the science of mind. But it went on. The practice of science of mind calls for a positive understanding of the spirit of truth, a willingness to let inner spirit guide us with the conscious knowledge that the law is perfect, that we must first believe this to be a fact insofar as our thoughts is in accord with this perfect law. But wait, there's more. Because if one doesn't resonate with you, I promise you another one will, because it is simply true. And we think about the ministers and what they have to get up and do. Really, they have to preach the same sermon every week. There's only one truth. They just have to find different ways to say it. They have to find different ways to present it so that it's both palatable to certain people and understandable by others. And so if it didn't get you this week, it's going to get you next time. If it didn't get you this paragraph, it's going to get you in the next one if you listen, if you stay open. It is the study of life and the nature of thought, the conception that we live in a spiritual universe that God is in, around, as, and through for us. There is nothing supernatural on any plane. That which today seems supernatural, after we understand it, will just be natural. What it really teaches us, the Mormons have a saying that as God now is, man someday may become. Now, some of the religious scholars have a hard time because they start thinking you're comparing yourself to God, and that's not what we're doing at all. But the God that I worship is not stagnant. It is ever growing and ever evolving because of me. because I get to participate, because I get to discover new things about myself, about my relationships, about others, about the world that I live in. And within the context of everything is within the contained within what we describe and define as God, then every time we learn and grow, God learns and grows. The scientists describe it as the ever-expanding universe that begins at the core of the earth. So this ball that we're on is bubbling at its core right now with an energy that we don't fully understand, that's eventually going to reach the surface and explode and expand. And when it does, the universe makes room for itself. One more. One cannot be a good student of the science of mind who is filled with fear or confusion. Okay, I'll say that one again. One cannot be a good student of science of mind if you are filled with fear and or confusion. He must keep himself in a state of peace, poise, and confidence. And in that state of spiritual understanding, and if you don't have the understanding, then you're in the state of spiritual seeking. Because before the questions ever arise, the answers are already there waiting for you. The only reason there is a question is because there's an answer that is seeking to be expressed through you. The last one, we find the remarkable character of Jesus a great impetus toward faith and conviction. So for those of us who grew up with the traditional Christian church or whatever it was, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We are not negating those tenets and spiritual truths that we have already discovered. We are simply expanding on what we already know. If we know we have a brain that we're only using a small fraction of its potential, then there's something out there for us. We can't even overload. We have room in our minds, in our hearts, and in our consciousness to be ever more and never less than we are right now. Every day, every breath, every encounter, every experience, we get the opportunity to be more. I was listening to the radio the other day, and there was a term that they were using. It wasn't conception, it was, I have to remember what that one was because I want to share that with you. It was introception. And what introception is, it's the idea that when you have an experience, you have an emotional response to that experience. And then you store that emotional response so that the next time you have a physical experience like that, you're calling on your own emotional response, which is how you conceive that experience to be. So without this initial conception that you created, it didn't come from someplace else. You decided that this was a chair, this was an apple. You agreed with the greater consciousness about a particular experience and how you should feel about it. And when that happened again, you brought up this old concept that you had. The beauty of introception is you can change your conception of an experience. That's part of what this study is all about. So that the next time you have that experience, you don't have the same knee-jerk emotional response. You get to participate actively and decide how you are going to feel. The beauty of this tool, brain thing that we're given is that we get to think about what we think about. There aren't a lot of creatures on the planet that spend time doing that. We get to think about what we think about. And if that's true, we can change what we think about anything. We can change what we think about Donald Trump. Good, bad, or indifferent. we can decide that what he has done in the past does not automatically determine everything that he's going to do in the future. I don't have to like him to know that not everything he does is bad. Because we will build up this experience based on our experience and our conception, and then the moment he opens his mouth, no matter what it is, we've already decided it's not something that we can get behind. The analogy that I heard was, if a person was blind and they came up with retinal technology that allowed them to see, and you placed an apple in front of them, they have no concept of what that is. They can't see it because they have no mental reference to decide what it should be, what it should look like, until they create a concept for themselves. If that's true, we can reshape our concepts of how we think and how we feel. The interesting part is that means we have both control and responsibility for our thoughts and our emotions. Most people are willing to accept the control part. Very few of us are willing to accept the responsibility that is ours and that we can change in the twinkling of an eye. If this God is great enough to create this body that's going to have more bones and more joints and more blood flowing and platelets and tiny microscopic cells to take care of itself, we can change our mind. The beauty of King and some of the people that I believe and support and follow is that when they were given new information, they were willing to adopt it, accept it, and use it because they knew it was true. They didn't cling so hard to what they had learned all their lives so that when something new came about, it shook them. The truth is, if your faith is strong, it cannot be shaken, because any evidence that somebody presents to you only reaffirms what you already know. And if it clearly contradicts it and you know it, then it might be time to rethink it. And that's okay. I just want to talk about the tenets and the practices before I go into some King that is absolutely related to us responding emotionally and psychologically to what goes on around us. The first tenet of this science of mine is prayer and meditation. And by prayer, we are not talking about begging a reluctant deity who is sitting on a cloud judging us, asking for something that is already ours. That is our universal birthright. That we have the right to be happy. That we have the right to be healthy. That we have the right to be abundant and prosperous. That is our birthright. So we shouldn't go and have to ask a reluctant deity sitting on a cloud with a white beard, do you think I could have that? Do you think I could have the relationship of my choice? By prayer, we humble ourselves and we realize that we are co-creators with the Spirit. So we get to participate. It's not happening to us, it's happening with us. That we have a role to play by being grateful, by saying thank you, and by saying, this is what I'd like to try next. And then we have to leave room, and this is what meditation does, for those things we have not yet considered. Because when we meditate, we sit quietly, not asking for anything. We're stilling and quieting the mind to be open to things that we have not yet seen or experienced. To a place of solitude and peace and gratitude. And again, if we could get 3 seconds, if we can get 3 seconds in a drum circle and change somebody's life, if you can get 3 seconds in meditation, you can change your mind. You can start thinking about something, and I know it's hard. We sit there and our mind starts wandering and we start thinking, did I leave some clothes in the washing machine? did I pick up the bills I was supposed to? Did I pay that? Did I call them? And we just learn to bracket, which means we see it, we accept it, we bless it, we place it over to the side, and then we return to our meditation. Prayer and meditation, the number one tenet of this practice. Number two is sacred study. We can't assume that we're going to get everything in the download and that we're going to wake up and it's all going to be good. We got to study. We got to read something, somewhere, somebody. We've got to take a class. We have to. That's what it says we are to do, sacred study, to learn, develop, evolve, seek more truth. Prove me in this. Number three, and this is a tough one for me, worship and fellowship. We have to get together with other like-minded people. We have to have healthy discussions and conversations with them about what it means to be in this teaching. And we have to be supported because we can operate by ourselves only for so long, but I'm really learning the greatest growth any of us will ever have is inside of a relationship with another human being. Because by myself, I'm great. If you ask my lady in the conference,